all I ask is, let the experts take the time to dissect it before everything falls apart, and you'll talk ahead of Chakosh of Sameh. I would like to ask Rabbi Cohn to speak about allergies and how it relates to Pesach. At the same time, when Rabbi Tank is ready, we'll collect the Kikar's handout, we'll take all types of questions, and Rabbi Eisenbach will be talking about Dikas Talayim, and Rabbi Goldzweig will watch me. Rabbi Goldzweig will share with us his unbelievable knowledge of Kashrus. Just that you know, in the CRC, whenever we have a question, there's only one thing to do, is ask the Rebbe of Kashrus, and that's Rabbi Goldzweig.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to be speaking about a number of different allergies and how they relate to Pesach. For me, this is somewhat personal. Over the past year or so, I have learned, in fact, two people, you'll hear as we go through it, two people in the family who have serious allergies. So even if none of you have allergies, for me, this is interesting. Okay, the first thing we're going to talk about is quite a serious allergy. That's an allergy that actually my niece has. It's not actually technically an allergy. It's called celiac disease, which is an allergy means, an allergy means when a person reacts to a certain food, and here the person doesn't react specifically to the food, rather their intestines react in a way that make them unable to properly digest other foods later. And it can lead to very serious complications. And the allergen, the thing that sets off this reaction is eating foods that have gluten in them. And the things that have gluten are wheat, barley, spelt, and rye. And so the people who eat those foods would have a reaction, and the common way to deal with a person who has celiac is to tell them to avoid those foods. With time, their intestines heal, and they can go on to lead a regular, normal life, just avoiding those foods. Which is fine, and they get used to that kind of a diet, but come Pesach, they have a particular challenge, which is, come the Seder night, everyone needs to eat matzah. Those people are not able to eat the matzah that I'm eating. They can't pick up a bite of matzah. They can eat it, and they may have temporary discomfort, but long-term, they're really hurting themselves in what could be very serious. So the whole Pesach day, I guess they could avoid matzah. And the real question is, what will they do to eat at the Seder? How will they eat matzah at the Seder? You have to eat quite a considerable amount of matzah at the Seder. And these people are sort of stuck. So there is actually a question, which is, what would a person do? We all know that if a person is... If it have a life-threatening allergy, there are people who are actually very seriously allergic to wheat, they of course won't eat the food. Obviously, protecting their life is more important than eating matzah and Pesach. And some people just get a discomfort from it, just a mild reaction to eating these foods. Those people, of course, should eat it. The people with celiac are someplace in between. They have, depending on how sensitive they are, they could have a more moderate reaction, which is not it's not just discomfort, but it's not life-threatening either. And there's a discussion among the poskim as to whether those people do or don't have to do the mitzvah. Does the fact that those people could be potentially quite sick from it without being life-threatening, do they or they do not have to do the mitzvah? And that's a discussion, that's a rabbinic discussion, and if anybody was stuck with that situation, they should, in fact, ask the rabbi what they should do, because it's very much dependent on the situation the person's in. However, for the past, 20 years or so, there has been a solution, which is that there are 5 grains that are acceptable to use for matzah. The one that we're focusing on is oats, which oats, when they grow naturally, have a very small amount of gluten in them. But oats have been bred to have almost no gluten or enough to not affect the people who have celiac. And approximately 20 years ago, someone living in England went out to help people who have celiac disease, and he started producing matzah out of oats. He bred oats in a way that they have no gluten or not enough to cause a reaction, and he started producing those matzahs. It is a business. I mean, it is a commercial enterprise, but it's not a money-making commercial enterprise. This person is doing it l'shem shemayim. He's trying to help people who otherwise can't eat matzah. The matzahs are very expensive, and he produces these matzahs. This has been going on for about 20 years, and for most people who have this allergy or an allergy to wheat, that's what they eat. That's what they have to eat for the Seder. But then, a couple of years ago, somebody else opened up oat matzahs. The Lakewood Matzah Bakery also started producing oat matzahs. But I want to share with you that there's a very significant difference between the oat matzahs coming from England and those that come from Lakewood. So for any of you who need to eat these matzahs, there's quite a significant difference between the two matzahs, if I can explain for a minute. The oats are different than other grains, in that most grains, in my house we have barley that we use for making chalent, and you take the barley grains and you put them in your pantry and they can sit there for 20 years. Nothing, they don't get ruined, they don't get spoiled, they'll just sit there forever and nothing happens to them. Oats are different in that if they are not heat treated, they will have a sour or a rancid taste to them. They develop a not good taste to them. So oats are traditionally heat treated before they're sent to your house. That's a standard in the industry to treat them either with moist heat or with dry heat. Now, of course, with Pesach, people making matzahs are treating them with dry heat. They don't want to mix water into it to make it hummus. Good. They use dry heat. However, once they're treated with this dry heat, those oats can never become hummus. Even if you would mix them with water, those oats would not become hummus. And one of the criteria for making matzah for the Seder is it needs to be a grain that can become hummus. The reason why we can't make matzahs out of potatoes is because potatoes don't become hummus. You have to have a grain that can become hummus. Oats, once they're heat treated, cannot become hummus. Okay, so now there's a machlokes, there's a disagreement. Oats by themselves can become hummus, but oats that are heat treated cannot become hummus. So are you allowed to use heat treated oats for making your matzahs, or are you not allowed to? On the one hand, they are oats. Oats can become hummus. Since they can become hummus, they can be used for making matzah. On the other hand, heat-treated oats cannot become chametz, so maybe you say these oats that are in front of me cannot be used for matzah. It's quite a debate as to whether they are or not suitable for the mitzvah, and the decision was for people who have no choice, they'll have no other way to do the mitzvah, so what should we do? They have no choice. There are those who hold that it's okay, so that's what they use, and they use the matzahs made with these heat-treated oats. And that's how it's been for many years. It's sort of like, it's better than nothing. That's the best choice that they have. However, when the Lakewood Matzah Bakery started making oat matzahs, they found a way to make the matzahs without treating the oats and without ruining the taste. They make matzahs, I've never tasted them, I can't afford to taste them, but they make matzahs that don't have the bad taste in them without having to heat treat them. So the matzahs that are made by the people, the Lakewood oat matzahs, not only are they approximately half the price of the English ones, but they also are not heat treated before they are turned into matzah, and they are unquestionably acceptable for the use of the mitzvah. Whereas the ones from England are more questionable whether they can be used, and being as we live in a capitalistic society, we should be proud to know that due to the competition, the English are working on how to make theirs without heat treating it also. So maybe next year this won't be again this smooth. But for today, my niece, who needs to eat oat matzah for the Seder, is going to be eating, the Lakewood matzahs, because those are more questionably acceptable for the Seder than the English ones. Excuse me? Okay. Moving on to a different allergy. Before I move on to that one, I want to make a point. A person who's a celiac, who cannot eat, who has another allergy to wheat, would tend to look to foods that are non-debrux. Gebrachs means that you mix like matzah meal or something like that into the food. If you buy a non-gebrachs food, it's not going to have wheat in it because it won't have matzah in it. It won't have matzah meal in it. That's a reasonable way to do things. It's not perfect because sometimes there is carryover within a factory. But you look for reasonably look for foods that are non-gebrachs. The other allergy, that's my son's allergy, is to eggs and nuts. He can eat as much matzah as he wants to, but he has a terrible reaction from eating eggs and a little bit from nuts also. And he has the exact opposite issue than the people with celiac do. He can't eat anything that's non-gebrachs. Because things that are non-gebrachs, by nature, are going to have loads of eggs and nuts in them. That's what they have. Okay, he had an awful Pesach the year we didn't know he was so allergic. Okay, what did he eat? He ate loads of nuts and little baby fingers that are all made out of eggs. That's all he ate. And that stuff is horrible for him. He was a basket case. It was terrible. He has a terrible reaction to it. So the people who are allergic to eggs and nut kind of foods, those people have to really, to a great extent, stay away from processed foods because they react, lots of those foods have in them eggs and nuts. And just for your interest, there's something called kernel paste, which seems like an innocuous ingredient. That's in fact ground up nuts. That's what that is. So people who are looking for those foods need to be sensitive to that. And of course, at the Seder, traditionally, charoisis is made with nuts. Certain kinds of tree nuts, and at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, you eat some eggs, so obviously a person who has allergies to those would do without those things. You can make charoisis in plenty of other ways, and you'd avoid that. Two, can I say, more minor allergies is that there are people who are allergic to milk and milk products. Those people, of course, in a way it's easy to avoid milk because you can eat foods that are parv. But some of those people, especially when they're young children, get used to eating soy and rice milk substitutes. Excuse me. And it's worth knowing that there's an enzyme that's used in producing soy and rice milks, which is made out of barley. On some packages, it even says it straight out on the ingredient panel. It says barley-based beta-amylase. It'll say something to that effect. But that enzyme called beta-amylase is often made out of barley. And of course, such a food is not appropriate for someone on Pesach. So if a person needs to drink those milks, the soy or rice milks, they need to find out from which ones of them don't have any of those ingredients. So Rabbi Fishman over here is actually quite involved in that through different contacts that he has. And the CRC each year tells people which of the soy and rice milks are acceptable for Pesach, that don't have any of this barley in it, and don't have any other hidden, you know, chametz ingredients. And lastly, the opposite of that is that this is not really a Pesach allergy, but it is people who have allergies to soy, rice, and beans, and those kinds of foods, of course, have no problem eating a Pesach, because those things are kidneyous, and they won't be in Pesach foods, but they're safe. And actually, it's really the opposite, that's my point, is that those people, actually, some of them actually stock up when it comes to Pesach time, because then you can go buy food that basically has a hechsher telling you that it has no soy and rice and things like that in it, which is, for those people, it's like an opportunity to pick up those foods. There's one other thing that's within the realm of allergies we're not going to talk about, next year, if I know, understand more about it by then, which is people who are diabetic or not able to eat sugars. Those people have different concerns for Pesach, in particular for drinking the Dal Kosos, and Mr. Shem for next time. Thank you.